This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Linda McMahon testifying today. Triple H, if you follow wrestling at all, seated behind her for some reason in case Bernie Sanders got crazy. And it was a pretty heated confirmation hearing on all aspects of why would you want to shut down this Department of Education. We first got to know Angela Morabito when she was involved in the Department of Education, and particularly getting Betsy DeVos on the show. Remember the antagonism, just the outright savagery of response to DeVos. It was incredible what they were up to. I mean, physical threats. Angela now is Defense of Freedom Institute spokesperson, Independent Women's Forum visiting fellow, and the former Education Department press secretary. What a day to have her on. We've just seen the test scores. Do they matter anymore is what I'm going to ask her, as far as people are oblivious to how much worse it's gotten. I think McMahon said today, we've spent $1 trillion since 1980, roughly, when this department was formed. I'd say well over $1 trillion on education. And the results are going down year by year. So why are we continuing to do that? But she also talked about some of the points of emphasis they want to have as long as we have this mechanism as it's being dismantled. Let's go to Angela Morabito on Talk Radio 1210.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Angela, welcome back to Philadelphia. What a day to have you on. Worked out perfectly.
Hey, Dom. It's great to be with you, and a big congrats on your Super Bowl win.
Well, thank you. Thanks very much, Angela. So Linda McMahon has been on many times as small business rep. We know the wrestling background, Triple H there. You served in this department when it was ferocious toward Betsy DeVos. I remember in a Washington school she was visiting, they just physically came after her. What is the way to lessen the damage done by this organization and maybe uplift whatever's positive about it?
Well, the best thing that we can do is totally just end the stranglehold that teacher unions have on schools in so many districts by opening up school choice. Mm-hmm. And Linda McMahon has committed herself to doing just that. Because when schools have to compete for students, they can't get away with the kind of failure we have seen year after year. There are some really new stunning numbers out, as you just mentioned. The nation's report cards show that only about a third, actually less than a third of students, are able to read proficiently, but yet 90% of parents think their kids are doing just fine at school. So what parents think and feel about their schools isn't matching reality because standards have fallen so far downward. So I think this is the start of a new age in American education where we can actually bring back those high standards, put parents back in the driver's seat, and get rid of the powers that be that have gotten us into this educational disaster.
Angela, I have a story in front of me, NJ.com from today, and I don't have the exact figure. It used to be about 33, probably 35,000 per student. Asbury Park, famous Bruce Springsteen, New Jersey School District had scheme to inflate student grades, four school officials say. Four former administrators have accused the Board of Education, local school officials, and teaching staff of conspiring to rig student records. to concoct a falsely rosy picture of the district. I mean, a vast conspiracy involved in doing that, just essentially change the grades, lower the standards, engage in all that. And to the point we've been talking about, what makes them think they get away with it? Because they have, largely. I don't even know why they're doing it, Angela. No one seems to do anything. We know the only thing that you can do at this point is give people a chance to flee this.
Yes, that's exactly right. And studies have shown time and again that school choice is the rising tide that lifts all boats, right? That when public schools have to compete for students and they've got to demonstrate their value to families, they tend to get their house in order, as the saying goes. They tend to shape up. And that's what students deserve. I'm in Atlanta, and I'll tell you here, many years ago, we had a very similar scandal to what's gone on in New Jersey, where a bunch of school officials went to prison because they had these quote-unquote eraser parties where they would erase wrong answers and standardized tests. And then in this next breath, the same people who pull that kind of stuff will turn around and say, oh, it's for the kids. We're putting students first. No, the only way to put students first at school is to make sure all of them can read, write, and do math. I think Linda McMahon is a breath of fresh air, and we're about to see this great return to sanity in schools actually getting back to that core mission.
Now, what they're going to say is, though, you know, one of the lines of attack for listeners, they didn't hear this either yet, Angela, I just saw it. Before the vote on RFK Jr. today, for example, Schumer actually said, well, he was never an insurance executive or a pharma executive like others. Why should we vote for this guy? Well, that's the exact reason, one of them, that we're voting for this guy. They're trying to say, well, she has never been a head of a teachers union or something like that. She's been involved in education, though.
That's right. She has an outstanding track record of leadership in education as a university trustee, as someone who has previously served on a state board. She's even earned a teaching credential. So look, the job of the Secretary of Education is not to be America's teacher in chief. This is an executive leadership role at the helm of an agency that currently has more than 4,000 staff members. And she's going to be overseeing, I hope, an orderly shutdown of that agency. So we need somebody in that job who knows how to manage more than a classroom. I have tremendous respect for America's great teachers. I know that Linda McMahon does too. But the skill set is different. It's just a very different job. So while that is one of the left's favorite lines of attack, they don't know what they're doing, right? They're the people who have gotten us into this mess. And I think that it's time for change. And that's really what Linda McMahon and the entire Trump administration represents.
Angela, break this down. Now, you know, my former experience as a teacher, I have a theory on what I saw up close and personal. There are a lot of very good teachers. Many times parents like their teachers, but the teacher union types are the real problem. And what I saw, I saw some of the worst people that didn't care about education or teaching. They were kind of frustrated labor bosses that got into the teachers unions, and they just see it as another labor action like the Teamsters or anything else. And that's what they drive for. That's what they're about.
Yes, I think the COVID pandemic really laid bare for the American public just how terrible these teacher unions can be. Because schools didn't have to stay closed for as long as they did. It was fine to safely reopen in the fall of 2020, and that came straight from the CDC. You don't have to take my word for it. But yet these teacher union bosses insisted time and again, oh no, we just simply cannot go back to work until you guarantee Medicare for all or pass some sort of insane resolution about what was going on in Gaza. I mean, there were people who demanded all kinds of crazy things just in return for doing their jobs. And the teacher union business model isn't one that supports students. It's actually all about the interests of adults. It says hire more administrators, even if they never help kids learn and they just siphon away money. It says lower standards so we can make it look like everybody's doing great, even when they're really not. The interest of the teacher union is to drive its own ideology onto the next generation while it uses that next generation to meet its own financial goals. So anything that disempowers the teacher unions is generally something that empowers parents. And that's the direction we're going to be going in over the next 4 years.
Give us a sense. Someone who served in that role saw it on the inside. So, you know, people think magic wand, you can just abolish it. Maybe Trump even talked about that. You can't. This has to be, that would have to come through Congress. But how do you dismantle it again? What would she do then? I'm not sure what she testified to. But what's your sense that you would do to lessen the problem and the money spent and everything else with this? Exactly what steps do you do?
Sure. So step one is block granting federal education dollars to the states. Let the people who are closest to the work, closest right. to the students, make decisions about where that money goes. So just cut out the middleman. But there are core functions of the department that other parts of the government could do better. For example, enforcing civil rights law in education. Right now, that's underneath the Department of Education. It's a very important job, and nobody's proposing that that would go away. We're actually proposing that would go over to the Department of Justice. Let the lawyers do the lawyering. Federal student aid is America's largest consumer lender, and it could function a lot more like a bank if it was spun off into its own independent agency instead of being underneath the federal Department of Education. Funding for students with disabilities, that could flow through Health and Human Services. Ideally, and I believe this is what the reality will be, is that the department can be dismantled without anyone in America really noticing a difference in the service, other than a benefit down the road when states are able to use more money more effectively.
That's a great summation, you know, and whatever they say in Congress, your summation is better.
Thank you.
I just see it as a vehicle, because when you actually have a vehicle that can threaten America's schools, they know who they are. They say, and in the Obama years, Angela, I'm convinced the kid who shot up the school in Florida, they were afraid to suspend him because Obama said too many students of minority status are being suspended or kicked out of school. And they start to look the other way on these things. In the Biden years, they were afraid of the transgender issues. They were threatened. Well, if you don't have that vehicle that's going to be threatened en masse these school districts, you take away the ability to get at them more easily with this stuff. You just can't go to this one shop that functions for progressives in the manner that it has with Biden and Obama.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And what you've outlined here is just how devastating woke progressive ideology has been in education, particularly for teachers. And you're a former teacher. I know you've lived this, where you've got to be in control of your own classroom. And when you've got the federal government saying, you know, well, we're really concerned that too many of these people are getting suspended and expelled, that takes away the ability of a teacher to maintain a safe learning environment, not just for themselves, but for all the other students in the class. You know, I heard from a friend the other day who teaches Sunday school, and she said, you know, some of my kids have been really worried about what happens if the Department of Education goes away.
Oh, my God.
It broke my heart. Broke my heart for these kids. But what she and I did was we put together a kid-friendly explanation, which was your school gets more money, your parents get more control, and we're going to treat your teachers better. Everybody wins except for the teacher unions. I think that's the message of optimism and hope and forward movement that we got to be sending to America's kids. It just broke my heart that the fear-mongering that's been done by the left has reached so many of America's young people.
Absolutely. Well, Angela, I don't know if Linda McMahon makes it, which I think she will, if you want to go back to dismantle it, which is an interesting job. But boy, the stuff you said today is spot on point. Easy metrics for people to understand what would happen here, because it will be ferocious on this when they start trying to dismantle. So I hope that we're able to speak with you again in the near future. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you so much.
All right, Angela Morabito here on Talk Radio 1210. That was a great synopsis on the very day. Can't do better than that. She contacted us. I hope she's back there. And how to dismantle this and to have it function in a way until they abolish it that works. I mean, what's wrong with that? What are we losing? I know you're thinking, well, why don't you just abolish it? Apparently, legally, it's an act of Congress to fully abolish it. So what they're doing is the next best step, put Linda McMahon in there to blunt all these things that are teacher union related. I'll tell you, it would be a coin flip at this point between Larry Krasner and getting Randy Weingarten back on the show. I've had her on a couple of times. This would be a knock. No, Betsy Pringle. Oh, my God. In studio. I would just say, that's it. I can't top this. Send this to the Radio Hall of Fame. Can't stay. Betsy, stay all 3 hours. Let's have a Pringle chip. Come on. All right. So 855-839-1210. Give me your reaction to that with Angela Morabito. That was spot on stuff about what's going on today and what this is about. But right now, it is time for...
It's Dobbs Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
Well, we are playing to win a pair of tickets to see People Will Say We're in Love, a special Valentine's Day concert at the Zlock Performing Arts Center on the campus of Bucks County Community College on February 14th. Henry, what do you have?
Yeah, Dom. So today's side question, we're asking for that movie that you would want to watch with your beau tonight. You
yes.
know, something that, you know, really sets the tone. And I'm going to play a song from a beloved 2000s rom-com movie.
Okay.
I don't want to know the name of the song. I think the song will be known to many people out there. I want to know the name of the movie in which this song is the opening title sequence for. All right?
Yep.
So we want the name of the movie. Here we go.
Sun's up. It's a little after 12. Make breakfast for myself. Leave the work for someone else.
Yeah, Dom, it's a song that you might hear throughout a lot of movies over the years, but
right.
It is best known for debuting in this 2000s rom-com.
All right. So again, Henry, we're looking for...
the name of the movie in which this song is playing through the opening title sequence.
All right.
It debuted this movie.
Okay. It's 855-839-1210. Come on. You want to go to the Zlock tomorrow night? It's a great spot. Get in. AT&T, Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push pound 1210. Hit us with your answer next on Talk Radio 1210.
It's Dom Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
Show me the money.
That's right. All right. We're looking for this song, or when it originally appeared as kind of the theme song of a film. We're looking for that film. Let's hear the clue. All right, let's go to Anthony in Jersey, a guy on this one. All right, Anthony, what's the film?
Legally Blonde.
Yes. And I think there's been at least two, if not three of them, right?
They definitely made a second one. I believe they made a musical, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, musical. All right, Anthony, you're going to the Zlock. Enjoy. I'll put you on hold. Yes, that's great. Great catch today. All right, we'll have everything again tomorrow, even though we have the parade. It's the beauty of talk radio, is that we get to do both things at once. We get to talk about everything that's in the news. For example, I hope to have Jack Stolzheimer on tomorrow. Maybe he's even coming to the parade. Who knows? It'll be right there in front of Starlink.
I'd love to hear you guys argue. Yeah. Just in the background, some guy's like, hey! Hey!
That's right, yeah. So that's all happening tomorrow. If you're down at the Art Museum, you'll see us. I'll be on with Dawn first. And then Dawn a little bit, then Dan will chip in. I think we'll have Nick back here with Greg. It'll be an entire team effort tomorrow to the conclusion, apparently, of the speeches, which we'll go live to the speeches and, you know, try not to dip out. I think maybe three profanities in might have to dip out for a while. Then, you know, it's just a stream of ridiculousness.
Yeah, got to let it reset.
Yeah. I'd still like to hear from you on that. Would you have your kid, in what age would you say, hey, this is a big event, despite the profanity, I would still bring them there to that? Well, what age is the appropriate age? If they're too young, maybe they don't know what the heck's going on. If they're older, well, then, you know, you could justify it in that manner. but it's become a tradition. Henry, after we talked with the Inquirer, he agrees that it'll be another offensive lineman, probably, that'll be the star tomorrow. But Kelce will be there. I'm not sure if he's going to speak or not. Not a good move, probably, to have him speak. So maybe the wife will speak. And the overexposure is obvious at this point of the whole, you know, the whole deal. Even though the podcast and everything else is still popular. So he'll be in town. He'll be at the parade in one form or another. All right, 855-839-1210. I got several emails, et cetera. People really liked Angela Morabito. She arrived on just the right day, the day that Linda McMahon is testifying. People know how much money we've spent on education. We know that school choice is that, well, getting rid of the Department of Education helps. But the teachers' unions are incredibly numerous, strong, fundraising with the Democrat Party. The biggest thing to stop their nonsense is school choice. And everybody knows it. There was an exchange today. I'm not going to play it again with Bernie Sanders and Linda McMahon. And Sanders kept on, well, what about the inequality in schools? And she was polite and didn't say some of them suck. So what's the remedy? Get them out of it. And that story I told Angela Morabito, NJ.com today, talks about this group of administrators, school board, and the like, conspiring. Now, the last that I looked, this is a couple years back, they were spending over $33,000. They're an Abbott school. Remember the Abbott schools where you have to throw more money in Jersey? There's a bunch of them. I think Camden is too. They were up to like $33,000 a student. It's probably more now. And they get pathetic results. How long can you continue to do that? Because if you get pathetic results in a private school, what happens? People don't go there. The public schools, they still do. They're mandated to. And they conspired, allegedly, with witnesses out there, et cetera, to rig the system, to inflate the scores, lower the standards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't understand why they did. What pressure is there? Where's the pressure coming from? They still would be in business. It's a ridiculous system. The Philadelphia public schools are fraudulent in my mind. Who are we kidding here? So we'll see if Linda McMahon, if the time is right, that finally people could have a voucher and get out of these public schools. Not all of them are bad, but enough of them are. Okay, one other quick thing. I mentioned this a little while ago. Now it comes out in the auditing of that USAID, USAID, that has gotten the most attention, that USAID drove the Russian collusion hoax. Remember that whole collusion that Democrats still talk about today with the Russians? They played a part in the impeachment of Trump. They subsidized in being a quasi-Lord Protector for the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project, which is supposed to be independent, but was anything but when you review the dynamics. USAID approved its staff hires action plan. They cited numerous times in a CIA whistleblower's complaint that this is the group that launched the Ukraine quid pro quo circus. So it's not too shocking that USAID was also involved in the Russian collusion delusion. Michael Schellenberg is a great investigative reporter. You've seen him on Fox a lot. Dove into the sordid world of the nonprofit activity and government funding. They found that this outfit pushed the Trump Russian bank money laundering myth. It's a lengthy article I'm reading from. In 2017, 2018, they said that Trump properties were used for money laundering by Russian financial criminals and Russian state entities. His entanglement with Russian oligarchs, Democrats, and political commentators argued, had made him Putin's puppet. All right. So once again, USAID is not just helping people avoid AIDS in Africa and all that stuff. They're engaged in every progressive ideological scandal that you can possibly think of. This is just another one. I just can't wait. I'm itching to see. My vote would be we need Elon Musk to be auditing the Fed and the military budget. The military budget to unify. What are Democrats going to say then? They're going to have to sign off and say, yes, this is abusive. This is wasteful. We shouldn't be engaged in this type of stuff. All right. Coming up now. Busy guy. He is the president's guy that the president talks to a lot. I don't think he's the official economic advisor, but you know him. You've seen him forever. Wall Street Journal, Trump advisor, Stephen Moore, scheduled to be with us. Want to ask him about what they're going to do to really dig in on the inflation front. I think he'll answer honestly. Trump today announced reciprocal tariffs, saying, hey, these countries that have tariffs on us, we're going to put the same exact tariff on them, on their goods and services. We'll see if Stephen Moore, who's not a tariff guy, thinks that that's the right way to go. And we'll also get a winner. Don't forget, $50 gift card tomorrow. We put them in a hat, the five winners of the week. The great Gallo's Seafood Restaurant, Jim Harvey there. Love the spot. We go there often. And he has the burger place attached to it that's just really different. So we're thrilled with that. Gallo's right there on the boulevard is the place to go. Thrilled to have him in the family here. He's unofficially been. We've done seven fishes there several times. Get on board, though. Hit us on the side question at 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push pound 1210. All right. The man is here, Stephen Moore. We've had a little trouble connecting, but now we got him. Advisor to the president, Economic Matters, Wall Street Journal. You see him all over Fox. I don't know how many books, just a great expert and entertaining as hell on this whole thing here. Let's go to Stephen Moore. Hey, Stephen, welcome back to Philadelphia. How many books have you authored?
Hi, Dom. Great to be with you. I think I've done six or so. The latest book is called The Trump Economic Miracle, How Trump Will Make America Great Again. And by the way, do you know who came up with the title, The Trump Economic Miracle?
Trump?
Yeah, yes. You know, the original working title was Trumponomics 2.0.
Yeah.
You know, Trump, we were showing him all the charts in the book, and loved it. You know, Trump trended that. He was saying, what are you going to call this book anyway? And I said, well, sir, we're going to call it Trumponomics 2.0. I said, no, call it the Trump Economic Miracle. And, you know, if the president tells you to do something, you do it.
That's a good, he's a great brander. Now, the only thing I'd say, one of the big things we wanted to talk about, you are the guy on this. Before we get to tariffs, which I know I don't think you're a tariff guy, I wanted to talk about inflation, the one thing that Democrats are pinning their hopes on. And am I right, Stephen, that just drill, baby, drill, supply chains coming back, Biden has so devastated, bake that in, there have to be other things they do. Do you agree? And if so, what is it you would do to actually wring this out of our pricing and of our economy?
Well, a couple points. Let's start with where we are right now. So I've been warning for the last several months that the inflation problem has not gone away, that Joe Biden, you know, I laughed when Joe Biden a week before he left the White House said, oh, I'm leaving the economy in great shape. And I went, what? We have 10 million illegal immigrants. We got a $37 trillion national debt. We're running a $2 trillion deficit. And inflation is back, rearing its ugly head, and you're saying you're leaving a good economy for Trump. And so even the headlines yesterday were misleading because it is true over the last year inflation is up, 3% prices, but in the last 3 months, do you know how much they're up?
Tell me.
5%.
Wow.
So, and the other thing I laughed at, did you see Chuckie Schumer's tweet on this?
I did not see it, no.
Chuckie Schumer tried to blame Trump.
Oh, right. Of course.
3 months of inflation.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait a minute. He's only been president for 2 weeks, and you're already blaming him for something. This was baked in the cake. And again, you and I have talked about this for many, many months. But I want to remind your listeners that this did not happen by accident. It wasn't bad luck. The reason we had Biden inflation, because in the Trump's first term, the inflation rate was less than 2%, is because Biden came in and spent $7 trillion we didn't have.
Exactly.
And, you know, you print, if you spend and print $7 trillion, just as sure as the sun is going to, you know, rise in the east and set in the west, you're going to get inflation. And so we're still seeing the lingering effects of that, Dom, because did you know over the last 12 months, the federal government has borrowed another $2 trillion. This is insanity. It is craziness. It is going to bankrupt our country. And so Trump comes into this mess, and then Chuck Schumer says, it's your fault. So it is going to take, in my opinion, it's going to take, you're going to have to give us 3 to 6 months to clean up this mess, folks. It is a deep hole that Joe Biden has put our country in. And I think, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time. I mean, it took Reagan over a year to fix the problems.
Well, but Stephen, let me cut to the sure, 6 months, because we're looking at the midterms. This is the one issue they could run on. And
that's
for the country, if Trump gets 2 more years and the Democrats still out of power, we got something if we have to squeeze all this in. Not
true.
So what are you recommending? We got it. Fuel costs and all that, turning that loose. What else would you do?
So how do we get it under control?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's a great question. So we do, you know, 3 or 4 things. Number one, look, you've known me a long time. They call economists like myself and Art Laffer and Larry Kudlow supply side economists. And what does that mean? It means we want to increase the supply and the productive capacity of our country so that we can produce more goods and services. And, you know, this is simple economics 100, folks. If the economy produces more goods, for example, if you produce more apples, then what happens to the price of apples?
Goes down.
They go down. Right, exactly. So we want to bring inflation down by producing more. And then you mentioned the energy stuff. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to produce a lot more oil and gas in this country and coal. That will bring energy prices down. And when energy prices come down, then guess what? Just about everything else comes down too. So that's our strategy. We're also going to deregulate big time. And we are going to cut taxes. So that, you know, gives businesses an incentive to produce more, too. So all of those things will eventually bring inflation back down to the 2% target.
Well, that is, and within 6 months to a year, that's certainly a reasonable thing. And Stephen, I just, look, we know that Trump and the culture wars and the auditing of the government, people are thrilled with this. When do we see a focus, you know, the branding of this? Guys like you out there in the center of this, you just laid out what is perfectly feasible. I just think people need to hear that, because the smarter Democrats got one play other than saying the F-bomb with Trump, and that's to focus in on look at the cost of eggs, et cetera, for now.
Well, eggs are expensive because we had this
flu virus. Yeah,
and the bird flu. And so, you know, and I'm my wife is furious about this. I mean, egg, you know, a dozen eggs now like $10 some places, you know, it used to be $3, $4 for a dozen eggs. So that is a big problem. And we'll, you know, but that, again, you can't blame the bird flu on Donald Trump.
No.
And so we'll, I believe it'll take another month or so for the egg prices to come down when we get the, you know, they had to kill millions of birds. Did you know? That's a lot fewer eggs.
Exactly. Now let's go into the tariffs, the reciprocal tariff. I'm a layman on this. That doesn't sound too bad to me, but I'm still in that old school. When I hear the tariffing thing, I get the leveraging thing in Trump's hands, and it's worked. Poor Colombia. They had no chance. But with China and some of these other things and more tariffing, what do you say to them about that? You don't strike me that you've ever been a tariff guy.
Yeah. So can you...
Stephen? Uh-oh, what happened there? Bad connection? Was the tariff question too tough? All right, let's hope he calls back here. I'm not sure what was missing there. All right, you heard what he said on inflation. Production, overall production, in addition to what he said, the energy part of it, et cetera. I wrote down what he said. These are some of the things that you'll hear more about. This is what they have to do. All right, I don't know what happened with our connection there. With Stephen Moore. Well, he's back with us. All right, let me go back to Stephen Moore. here on Talk Radio 1210.
I think that they're trying to, trying to disconnect us. So
yeah, the tariff question. I knew you don't dodge any questions. I told you the first time I saw you on with John Stossel way back when, I said, I got to get that guy whenever I get a show. So, Stephen, I get the leveraging part of the tariffing, but as a strategy long term, what do you tell Trump about that?
So, I think I agree with a lot of what you just said. I didn't catch it all, but I caught most of it. So the reciprocal tariffs are really interesting because I am a free trade guy and I'm not in favor of Trump and I mean of tariffs. And when I go to see the president, you know, a lot of times they'll see me and say, "There's Steve Moore, he's a great economist, but he doesn't agree with me on tariffs." and I just smile. But he's I think right on this. It's an interesting strategy. So what he's and I haven't completely made up my mind on it. We'll see if this works. But what he's saying is, look, we, as you know, we have the lowest tariffs in the world. Did you know that? Our tariffs are lower than any other countries.
I didn't know. I knew it was near the bottom. Yes.
Well, I shouldn't say we have the lowest, but among all the major trading, you know, there may be some small countries that have lower tariffs than us. But of the big companies, Europe, you know, Mexico, Canada, China, Japan, our tariffs are lower than theirs are. And so what Trump is saying is, hey, let's have parity, and why don't you, if you don't lower, let's say to Japan, he says, if you don't lower your tariffs on us, then we're going to increase our tariffs on you. And if you want us to bring those tariffs down, you're going to have to bring your tariffs down. And now that's a kind of tit for tat strategy. And for most countries, that wouldn't work, except that the United States is in a very special place. We are the hub of the world economy. Every country has to trade with the United States because we have this enormous consumer market and everybody wants to tap into it, especially, by the way, the country that couldn't possibly survive or grow at all without access to our markets is China. You know, we run a $700 billion deficit with them. And so he's going to go to each one of these countries and say, okay, and this is why when they grouse, they say, there goes Donald Trump, he's raising tariffs, that's so unfair. They still have higher tariffs than we do. So I think in the end of the day, this strategy will work. You've seen how he's basically threatened countries with tariffs already, like Colombia. And what have they done? They've agreed to what Trump wants because they need to be able to sell things here. And so I think at the end of the day, the reciprocal tariff idea may lead to lower tariffs, not higher tariffs. You see what I mean?
Exactly. Because, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that's the reciprocals. What I do not like, and I think is a bad idea, is steel and aluminum tariffs. You know why?
Why?
Because they don't create jobs. They will not create jobs here. When we did the steel and aluminum tariffs back in Trump's first term, we saved a few thousand steel jobs with those tariffs. But guess what? We lost jobs in auto production. We lost jobs in construction and other manufacturing because other firms that use steel had to buy steel at a higher price, and that made their products less competitive. So I don't think the strategy works as a way of saving jobs.
Okay. If you can, Stephen, next big thing that you might be talking about that you think is going to be part of the conversation. And again, I want to see you and maybe one or two others out there more on this strategy, because that's the only thing I'm worried about. Inflation, Democrats, you know, the media helping them.
Yes.
Everything
sure.
else that Trump is doing as far as an audit of the... Well, here's what I wanted to ask you, really. The Fed. I've never talked to you about that. An audit of the Fed. Rand Paul has been on several times. Are we going to find something the American public is going to go, oh, my God?
Well, I've also been very much in favor of auditing the Fed. As you may or may not know, I was nominated by Trump to be on the Federal Reserve Board. I did not make
it through
the process.
Yes.
But you know, it was interesting because there was such a huge storm over my being nominated.
I know. Now it comes back to me. Yes.
Yes. And the reason for that was that they don't want anybody that doesn't drink their Kool-Aid.
You know,
I was going to be come in and be a troublemaker, and they didn't want that. So I do know a bit about the Fed, and I'll start with this. They have 300 or 400 PhD economists over there. Do you know how many of them are Republicans?
Very few.
Almost none of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, very few. So it's, you know, I love the left always talks about diversity.
Right.
They don't believe in diversity in thought because they're all a group of liberal, you know, Ivy League trained economists who don't really get what you and I have been talking about. And so I'm very much in favor of auditing the Fed. And why should everything be in secret at the Fed?
Yes, that's the last place it should be. So.
Right.
Yeah. So, Stephen, thank you. And again, anytime something like this is brewing, we really appreciate your insight. The current book again?
It's called The Trump Economic Miracle, and we're number one on Amazon in the economics and business section. So I hope people can get it. And boy, it's going to be a hell of a ride over the next 12 months.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stephen, very much.
See you later.
Bye. All right. Next time we get them on more thoroughly on the Fed when they start to audit it, it's the lightning round next. I hope that cleared up a few things because he's not, you know, he's honest. He's not hell-bent for tariffs. I don't think the average listener is either. But these reciprocal tariffs might lower them in the end. Bottom line, audit of the Fed is going to be nuts. Lightning round next. Hit us with that film that you, come on, we need to hear from a few women on this too.
Please.
See, all guys. Have we gotten a woman that's called
seriously.
In yet? Please save us. A romantic film that you would recommend tonight, tomorrow night, whatever, is the side question today on Talk Radio 1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, a little birdie flew into the Dom Giordano wing here. And thank you, Mike Gibson. Jim Harvey, who's the sponsor this week, $50 gift card tomorrow. We pull out of the hat for the side question. Jim will be inducted into the Father Judge Hall of Fame this spring. Congratulations, Jim. Well deserved. Gallows, our place. All right, hit us. We got some wild ones here. Hit us with that film that you think is romantic. Watch with the significant other tonight, tomorrow night, this weekend. Joe in Bordentown. Joe, what's yours?
Mine is Die Hard, which is not only a Christmas movie, but where John McClane battles the Hans Gruber gang to save his estranged wife, Holly.
Ah, that's always a way to get it going. All right, Tom in Rosemont, who walks on the wild side, particularly for an attorney. Hey, Tom, how are things going? What's your film?
Very good, Dom. Dom, I'm not just going to think outside the box. I'm going to think outside the galaxy. The Empire Strikes Back, Dom.
Oh, God.
When they're about ready to freeze Han Solo in carbonite,
yes.
Princess Leia looks at him and says, I love you. Now, what does he say back? Not, I love you. I know. And then it freezes. That, to me, is more powerful than the ending of Saving Private Ryan, Dom.
Oh, God. Hard-hitting. God, that is great stuff. That is a great response here, too. All right. Mike in Philly, Talk Radio 1210. Mike, what's your film?
Hey, Dom, how about An Affair to Remember? Cary Grant, Deborah Carr. It's something my wife mentions all the time about meeting at the top of the Empire State Building on Valentine's Day. I've never seen the movie. Maybe tomorrow night. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, but, try it out, Mike, and then let us know your success rate there, so to speak.
We'll see how it goes. We are going to dinner, so that's something that we normally don't do. So,
oh, good.
We'll get home from dinner, and we'll pop that on.
Oh, please.
I'll report back.
Oh, please. You got to tell me on Monday. I'll be waiting to hear. Thank you, Mike. And Affair to Remember, I've never seen it, but I, you know, Cary Grant, Deborah Kerr, two of the biggest stars. Deborah Kerr, the accent, the whole thing. Bill is going for the quintessential sex scene, not a real physical sex scene. Bill, in Bucks, what's yours?
Well, it featured Billy Crystal,
right.
Meg Ryan, and the restaurant scene was quite an adventure, which spawned the phrase, I'll have what she's having.
And a commercial in the Super Bowl. All right, Bruce in the Northeast, this is a very several scenes romantic. I don't quite get the appeal of the woman in this. Roe agrees with me, but Humphrey Bogart, yeah, I do get the appeal. Bruce in the Northeast. Hey, Bruce, welcome in. What's your advice?
Hey, Tom, can I tell you, you don't get Ingrid Bergman? You don't think
no,
she's
No, I'm not seeing I never got why she's overwhelmingly attractive. No.
Yeah, she's all right. But yeah. Anyway, the movie Casablanca has something for both male and female, the romance and the intrigue. And, of course, there's that famous line, play it again, Sam. But better yet, better than that is, don't play it again, Kendrick. You know, just like
that. Thank you, Bruce. All right, good stuff. Ron in South Jersey. We haven't heard from Ron, I think, in a little while. Hey, Ron, what's the film for you?
Only You, and it's Robert Downey Jr. and Marissa Tomei. It's a charming, romantic, and emotional film. It's the only romantic film I remember.
Well put. This is a good one. There is a scene here that Roe and I agree. Karen in North Carolina. Karen, what's the film and what's the scene?
Hey, Dom. My movie was Witness with
yes.
Harrison Ford and Kelly McGillis. My husband and I could barely make it home from the theater. Jeez.
Well, the scene where she just says, that's it. She throws off the whole garb and the whole thing. The build-up to it, and it's real. It's authentic.
It appeals to men and women. There's, you know, again, the the intrigue and the murder case and all that. And but I just, you know, had the build-up to that is really something.
You know what, Henry? I got to say, you may not have seen Witness. I tell you, it's a really good film.
It's on my list.
I'm going to go with that. The scene where they finally come to each other. Oh.
I was going to suggest it just based on the explanation. You know me. I'm a sucker for a good explanation.
Yeah, and it's
that
it's,
got me wanting
it's
to watch
the Amish. Yeah. You know, we have to call Scott Presser up and see if he approves when it comes to anything Amish. I want to go with Witness on that. Really good call, too, the way we barely made it home from the theater. Oh, my God.
That's what we wanted, right?
Yeah, check out Witness. I like Tom's of Rosemont, too. There were several good ones. Check us out tomorrow. We'll be at the base of the Art Museum broadcasting if you're coming to the parade or whatever. But we will do all the stuff that you usually get every day and then add in, particularly when the Eagles start to speak on the stage there tomorrow, we'll give you some of the best speeches. Our coverage, Dan will be out there in the field, Dawn, the whole team. It's a team effort tomorrow. I hope that you're part of it. Henry's got the most important job, finger on the button here.
Oh,
and we'll count the number of times. I'm setting it at 20. Can they exceed it, Henry? Yes or no?
No, I think it's going to be one and one only.
All right, we'll see. All right, Richie always next for 4 big hours. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.